Tractate 25. John 6. 15-44. Part 2. They said therefore unto him, What shall we do, that we may work the works of God? For he had said to them, Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that which endureth unto eternal life. What shall we do? They ask, By observing what, shall we be able to fulfill this precept? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. This is then to eat the meat, not that which perisheth, but that which endureth unto eternal life. To what purpose dost thou make ready teeth and stomach? Believe, and thou hast eaten already. Faith is indeed distinguished from works, even as the apostle says, that a man is justified by faith without the works of the law. There are works which appear good, without faith in Christ, but they are not good, because they are not referred to that end in which works are good, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth. For that reason, he willeth not to distinguish faith from work, but declared faith itself to be work. For it is that same faith that worketh by love. Nor did he say, This is your work, but, This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent, so that he who glories, may glory in the Lord. And because he invited them to faith, they, on the other hand, were still asking for signs by which they might believe. See if the Jews do not ask for signs. They said therefore rate him, What sign doest thou, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Was it a trifle that they were fed with 5 loaves? They knew this indeed, but they preferred manna from heaven to this food. But the Lord Jesus declared himself to be such an one, that he was superior to Moses. For Moses dared not say of himself that he gave, not the meat which perisheth, but that which endureth to eternal life. Jesus promised something greater than Moses gave. By Moses indeed was promised a kingdom, and a land flowing with milk and honey, temporal peace, abundance of children, health of body, and all other things, temporal goods indeed, yet in figure spiritual, because in the Old Testament they were promised to the old man. They considered therefore the things promised by Moses, and they considered the things promised by Christ. The former promised a full belly on the earth, but of the meat which perisheth, the latter promised, not the meat which perisheth, but that which endureth unto eternal life. They gave attention to him that promised the more, but just as if they did not yet see him do greater things. They considered therefore what sort of works Moses had done, and they wished yet some greater works to be done by him who promised them such great things. What, say they, doest thou, that we may believe thee? And that thou mayest know that they compared those former miracles with this and so judged these miracles which Jesus did as being less, our fathers, say they, did eat manna in the wilderness. But what is manna? Perhaps you despise it? As it is written, he gave them manna to eat. By Moses our fathers received bread from heaven, and Moses did not say to them, Labor for the meat which perisheth not. Thou promisest meat which perisheth not, but which endureth to eternal life, and yet thou workest not such works as Moses did. He gave, not barley loaves, but manna from heaven. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, not Moses gave you bread from heaven, but my Father gave you bread from heaven. For the true bread is he that cometh down from heaven, and giveth life to the world. The true bread then is he that giveth life to the world, and the same is the meat of which I have spoken a little before. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that which endureth unto eternal life. Therefore, both that manna signified this meat, and all those signs were signs of me. You have longed for signs of me, do you despise him that was signified? Not Moses then gave bread from heaven, God gives bread. But what bread? Manna, perhaps. No, but the bread which manna signified, namely, the Lord Jesus himself. My Father giveth you the true bread. For the bread of God is he that cometh down from heaven, and giveth life to the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Like that Samaritan woman, to whom it was said, Whoso drinketh of this water shall never thirst. She, immediately understanding it in reference to the body, and wishing to be rid of want, said, Give me, O Lord, of this water. In the same manner also these said, O Lord, give us this bread, which may refresh us, and yet not fail. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life, he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. He that cometh to me, this is the same thing as he that believeth on me, and shall never hunger is to be understood to mean the same thing as shall never thirst. For by both is signified that eternal sufficiency in which there is no want. You desire bread from heaven, you have it before you, and yet you do not eat. But I said unto you, that you also have seen me, and you believed not. But I have not on that account lost my people. For hath your unbelief made the faith of God of none effect? For, see thou what follows, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will not cast out of doors. What kind of within is that, whence there is no going out of doors? Noble interior, sweet retreat. O secret dwelling without weariness, without the bitterness of evil thoughts, without the solicitings of temptations and the interruptions of griefs. Is it not that secret dwelling whither shall enter that well-deserving servant, to whom the Lord will say, Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And him that will come to me, I will not cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Is it for that reason that thou wilt not cast out him that shall come unto thee, because thou hast descended from heaven, not to do thine own will, but the will of him that sent thee? Great mystery. I beseech you, let us knock together, something may come forth to us which may feed us, according to that which has delighted us. That great and sweet secret dwelling place, he that will come to me. Give heed, and weigh the matter, he that will come unto me, I will not cast out. Why? Because I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Is it then the very reason why thou castest not out him that cometh unto thee, that thou camest down from heaven, not to do thy own will, but the will of him that sent thee? The very reason. Why do we ask whether it be the same? The same it is, himself says it. For it would not be right in us to suspect him to mean other than he says, Whoso will come to me, I will not cast out. And, as if thou askedst, Wherefore? He answered, Because I came not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. I am afraid that the reason why the soul went forth away from God is, that it was proud, nay, I do not doubt it. For it is written, Pride is the beginning of all sin, and the beginning of man's pride is a failing away from God. It is written, it is firm and sure, it is true. And hence what is said of proud mortal man, clad in the tattered rags of the flesh, weighed down with the weight of a corruptible body, and withal extolling himself, and forgetting with what skin coat he is clothed, what, I ask, saith the Scripture to him? Why is dust and ashes proud? Why proud? Let the Scripture tell why. Because in his life he put forth his inmost parts. What is put forth, but through afar off? This is to go forth away. For to enter within, is to long after the inmost parts, to put forth the inmost parts, is to go forth away. The proud man puts forth the inmost parts, the humble man earnestly desires the inmost parts. If we are cast out by pride, let us return by humility. Pride is the source of all diseases, because pride is the source of all sins. When a physician removes a disorder from the body, if he merely cures the malady produced by some particular cause, but not the cause itself, he seems to heal the patient for a time, but while the cause remains, the disease will repeat itself. For example, to speak of this more expressly, some humor in the body produces a scurf or sores, there follows a high fever, and not a little pain. Certain remedies are applied to repress the scurf, and to allay that heat of the sore, the remedies are applied, and they do good. Thou seest the man who was full of sores and scurf healed, but because that humor was not expelled, it returns again to ulcers. The physician, perceiving this, purges away the humor, removes the cause, and there will be no more sores. Whence doth iniquity abound? From pride. Cure pride and there will be no more iniquity. Consequently, that the cause of all diseases might be cured, namely, pride, the Son of God came down and was made low. Why art thou proud, O man? God, for thee, became low. Thou wouldst perhaps be ashamed to imitate a lowly man, at any rate, imitate the lowly God. The Son of God came in the character of a man and was made low. Thou art taught to become humble, not of a man to become a brute. He, being God, became man. Do thou, O man, recognize that thou art man. Thy whole humility is to know thyself. Therefore, because God teaches humility, he said, I came not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. For this is the commendation of humility. Whereas pride doth its own will, humility doth the will of God. Therefore, whoso cometh to me, I will not cast him out. Why? Because I came not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. I came humble, I came to teach humility, I came a master of humility, he that cometh to me is made one body with me, he that cometh to me becomes humble, he who adnereth to me will he humble, because he doth not his own will, but the will of God, and therefore he shall not be cast out, for when he was proud he was cast out. See those inner things commended to us in the psalm, but the sons of men will put their trust in the covering of thy wings. See what it is to enter within, see what it is to flee for refuge to his protection, see what it is to run even under the Father's lash, for he scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. But the sons of men shall put their trust under the cover of thy wings. What is within? They shall be filled with the plenteousness of thy house, when thou shalt have sent them within, entering into the joy of their Lord, they shall be filled with the plenteousness of thy house, and thou shalt give them to drink of the stream of thy pleasure. For with thee is the fountain of life. Not away without thee, but within with thee, is the fountain of life. And in thy light we shall see light. Show thy mercy upon them that know thee, and thy righteousness to them that are of upright heart. They who follow the will of their Lord, not seeking their own, but the things of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are the upright in heart, their feet shall not be moved. For God is good to Israel, to the upright in heart. But, as for me, says he, my feet were almost moved. Why? Because I was jealous at sinners, looking at the peace of sinners. To whom is God good then, unless to the upright in heart? For God was displeasing to me when my heart was crooked. Why displeasing? Because he gave happiness to the wicked, and therefore my feet tottered, as if I had served God in vain. For this reason, then, my feet were almost moved, because I was not upright of heart. What then is upright in heart? Following the will of God. One man is prosperous, another man toils, the one lives wickedly and yet is prosperous, the other lives rightly and is distressed. Let not him that lives rightly and is in distress be angry, he has within what the prosperous man has not, let him therefore not be saddened, nor vex himself, nor faint. That prosperous man has gold in his own chest, this other has God in his conscience. Compare now gold and God, chest, and conscience. The former has that which perishes, and has it where it will perish, the latter has God, who cannot perish, and has him there whence he cannot be taken away, only if he is upright in heart, for then he enters within and goeth not out. For that reason, what said he? For with thee is the fountain of life, not with us. We must therefore enter within, that we may live. We must not be, as it were, content to perish, nor willing to be satisfied of our own, to be dried up, but we must put our mouth to the very fountain, where the water fails not. Because Adam wished to live by his own counsel, he, too, fell through him who had fallen before through pride, who invited him to drink of the cup of his own pride. Wherefore, because with thee is the fountain of life, and in thy light we shall see light, let us drink within, let us see within. Why was there a going out thence? Hear why, let not the foot of pride come to me. Therefore he, to whom the foot of pride came, went out. Show that therefore he went out. And let not the hands of sinners move me, because of the foot of pride. Why sayest thou this? They are fallen, all they that work iniquity. Where are they fallen? In their very pride. They were driven out, and they could not stand. If, then, pride drove them out who were not able to stand, humility sends them in who can stand forever. For this reason, moreover, he who said, "The bones that were brought low shall rejoice," said before, "Thou shalt give joy and gladness to my hearing." What does he mean by, "to my hearing"? By hearing thee I am happy, because of thy voice I am happy, by drinking within I am happy. Therefore do I not fall, therefore the bones that were brought low will rejoice, therefore the friend of the bridegroom standeth and heareth him, therefore he stands, because he hears. He drinks of the fountain within, therefore he stands. They who willed not to drink of the fountain within, there are they fallen, they were driven, they were not able to stand. Thus, the teacher of humility came not to do his own will, but the will of him that sent him. Let us come to him, enter in unto him, be engrafted into him, that we may not be doing our own will, but the will of God, and he will not cast us out, because we are his members, because he willed to be our head by teaching us humility. Finally, hear himself discoursing, "Come unto me, you who labor and are heavy laden, take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and when you have learned this, you shall find rest for your souls, from which you cannot be cast out, because I am come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. I teach humility, none but the humble can come unto me. Only pride casteth out. How can he go out who keeps humility and falls not away from the truth?" So much as could be said about the hidden sense has now been said. Brethren, this sense is hidden enough, and I know not whether I have drawn out and shaped in suitable words for you, why it is that he casteth not out him that cometh unto him, because he came not to do his own will, but the will of him that sent him. And this, saith he, is the will of the Father that sent, that of all that he hath given me I should lose nothing. He that keeps humility was given to him, the same he receives; he that keeps not humility is far from the master of humility. That of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. So it is not the will of your Father that one of these little ones should perish. Of the proud, there may perish, but of the little ones, none perisheth, because, if you will not become as this little one, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Of all that the Father hath given me, I should lose nothing, but I will raise it up again on the last day. See how here he delineates that twofold resurrection. He that cometh unto me immediately rises again, being made humble in my members, but I will raise him up again on the last day also according to the flesh. For this is the will of my Father that sent me, that every one who seeth the Son, and believeth on him, may have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. He said above, Whoso heareth my word, and believeth him that sent me, but now, whoso seeth the Son, and believeth on him. He has not said, seeth the Son, and believeth on the Father, for to believe on the Son is the same thing as to believe on the Father. Because, even as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given also to the Son to have life in himself. That every one who seeth the Son, and believeth on him, may have eternal life by believing and by passing unto life, just as by that first resurrection. And, because that is not the only resurrection, he saith, and I will raise him up at the last day.